No FOMO, no mo. Play a board game review for me.
Now playing a board game review recorded by the Swarmcast Podcast.
Shadowrun Sprawl Ops by Catalyst Game Labs. It's for 2 to 4 players, plays in 90 to 120 minutes, ages 13 and up.
Into the Shadows. In the year 2079, Shadowrunners do the jobs no one else wants. Maybe they're hired to steal a new laser prototype from a top-tier tech corp. Maybe they have to extract an orc middle manager from a dead-end job where the higher-ups treat her like something they accidentally stepped on. Or maybe they're trying to keep a powerful politician alive, one that has been targeted for assassination by another team in the shadows. There's plenty of work to do and plenty of obstacles to overcome. Backstabbing corporate pawns, aggressive law enforcement, and other Shadowrunners angling for your payday can get in your way. Your job is to beat them to the punch and make the big score before they can stop you.
Shadowrun Sprawl Ops puts players in control of their own team of Shadowrunners, selecting who they will hire and then building up the cash, gear, and abilities that the runners will need to survive the streets. You'll need to shape them into an efficient, deadly team because they'll be pitted against other runners in a race to the top. Only one team will complete the final mission that scores a huge payday and wins the game. Do you have the guts, wiles, and treachery it will take to make it to the top? Time to find out.
So, hey guys, in case you didn't catch it the first time around, we're talking about Shadowrun on this episode.
I know.
And so we're doing
Shadowrun all the time.
So that being said, we're giving you almost an extra big review of a board game, this particular board game called Shadowrun Sprawl Ops. So here to review who is playing Shadowrun Sprawl Ops are me and some of my, I guess you could say my veteran Shadowrun players and gamers. So it's me, John,
Ruby,
Calvin,
Tim.
Okay, should we come up with cool shadow names for ourselves? Street names.
Which runner name do I want to use?
Sure, cool runner names.
I'm gonna use my current one, V, Vulcanalia.
Okay, so we got V.
Mine are always horrible.
Hunter isn't bad.
We got V.
Hunter.
We got V, the horrible, I mean, Hunter.
Yeah. Hunter.
Blitz.
Blitz. And,
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson. So, for Shadowrun Sprawl Ops, let's dive right into just the board game part itself. Okay. What was some good stuff we can say about it?
It is super pretty. I love that board. It's this UV holographic-y... beautiful board.
Okay.
It's in their new vein of their sixth edition, so it's mm-hmm. that neon-y purple. So while at first glance it looks a little hard to read, when you have it out on the table, it shimmers, and actually from an angle you can see the whole map of Shadowrun. It's the same map they used in their beginner box
The map of Seattle.
Yeah. Right, the map of Seattle. So, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful, I think.
And not just the maps, but like the runner cards,
right,
and all the art graphics, all of the art, everything. Was just
it's very
beautiful.
Much in line with their new sixth edition. It's very pretty.
Yeah. So most of this review is actually going to be mostly just a big our other category.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. It is.
It's very pretty. There's a lot to it. It definitely has a Shadowrun-esque feel.
If you're a Shadowrun fan, you'll really love this because like all the gear is stuff you'll recognize.
Especially like we were putting out the cards and everything, and one of the runners that you could hire was my fan, and John was like, hey, let me see that card because that looks an awful lot like the feathered serpent from Bottle Demon, which
that's our leash. She's the feathered serpent that's on the cover of Bottle Demon. In fact, this is the cover of Bottle Demon,
and that is a second edition Shadowrun module.
I think it's either first or second one, but
so it's kind of neat. So if you're a,
and that's a testament to Shadowrun itself because their art is so good that they could just go, yeah, we can reuse this because this is just still very awesome. Not all of it.
Old Shadowrun art either came in the variety of that's really cool or my god, who? What's 4 year old?
I didn't see any third edition Shadowrun art. All right. So as far as the game itself, is there anything good? Because I will say this. I felt The flow of the game, I felt once we got into it, it wasn't so. It was
after
pretty
the
good.
First
it,
round, yes.
And it's like, okay, you can. It's there's definitely a lot of strategies that kind of form there, and you figure out what to do. And,
yeah. And I stuff like that. You still get that. You still really get that Shadowrun feel when you're rolling. You know,
massive amounts
dice,
of dice.
Yeah,
and then 15.
Like, well, you know, I mean,
and two and on those dice, and on those dice, two of them are successes. One is a failure,
yeah.
Just like in Shadowrun.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You could use these dice instead of your regular dice for Shadowrun.
I wouldn't, but you could.
I mean, you could. It'd be weird, but you could. Yeah. Okay. Anything else good we want to say as far as the game itself?
It did what most board games do, at least for me. The first round, if it's a brand new game, nobody's played it, and we've all just kind of, like, one person's read the rules and he tells it, the first round is always really bumpy, and you find something on the second round, they're like, oh, we didn't do that right in the first round, we'll just correct it. So
it was easy enough to correct it.
Correct.
On this one too.
But that's kind of a, it's a good and a bad. It's the bad that the fact that first round doesn't go smoothly, and I think in a really great game, it goes smoothly right from the beginning. In a good game, it's easy to correct that first mistake. You don't play through the whole game saying, oh, I screwed up that whole time.
Right.
If you can recognize it right off the bat and say, okay, first time we've played this first round, let's just fix it from here on out.
Right.
Okay.
And I liked the multiple types of upgrades you could do. So you could get gear, and you could also do like personal upgrades to your to your runners. And the gear could be interchangeable, as it should be, whereas the personal upgrades were kind of permanent to so that was kind of cool.
Okay,
nice little twist.
There's a lot of fun to be had in this game. And if you're a Shadowrun fan, it's even better. But I don't necessarily know if you had to be a Shadowrun fan to I don't know if it would be as fun if you weren't a Shadowrun fan.
Yeah, I agree.
Full disclosure, all of us play Shadowrun. We all enjoy Shadowrun, so it was a definite fun thing for us.
So it's fun for us.
Our objectivity
mostly
is
because
skewed.
Of that. But aside from that, it played pretty well
for
a board game.
All right,
so let's go.
Anything else good before we move on to the bad?
All right, let's go into the...
We can't hear your head nodding.
We're all nodding no.
Okay.
No.
So, into the bad. So, what can we say that was bad about Shadowrun? Right off the bat, I'm going to say it. No Shadowrun lingo on the back of that box. That big wall of text that they read for the Shadowrun sprawl ops. Yeah, where was this? Hoi, chummer. You know, let's go grab some Nguyen. I don't even recall the word Nguyen, actually.
No, never actually at all.
So Catalyst.
It actually said money.
It says K. It was 20K, 38.
But I'm saying in the...
It just said money?
Yeah.
So Catalyst, give us some.
Sir, it says cash.
Cash.
It doesn't say.
Catalyst, give us some. Give us some.
Don't use cash. All right.
Yeah, give us some Shadowrun stuff.
Game wise.
Yeah.
And again, this is, if you've listened to any of the reviews with me, I kind of detest the book of rules.
Yeah, I got stuff to say about the book of rules too.
Yeah, John read the book of rules. He read it on Thursday or Friday before he was rereading it again today when we pulled it out. We literally spent 45 minutes going over the rules alone for the first time, you know. And then the game played in the 2-hour block.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I am. But then again, like I said, I don't prefer the games that have the rules,
massive.
Or 10, 25 page
book.
Okay, so let me talk about this rule book for a second. It is a 30-something page book of rules. Half of the book of rules is an example of gameplay and a welcome to the world of Shadowrun thing, like out of that beginner box for the RPG.
So while that's cool, because they're cross-pollinating between board gamers hoping to get them interested in the role-playing game.
Right. Didn't have really a lot to do with the actual board game itself.
Right.
Yeah. It could easily been split into a second.
I understand it from a company standpoint, but again,
so
personally, I, Ruby, will not read that big book. I will pass it off to someone else, and you and give I me totally the breakdown. Get
that. Now, for people, and this still goes in that rule book category, because mm-hmm. I've got stuff to say about
okay,
that rule
you,
book.
Okay, you talk about the rule book.
So, because I was the one handling the rule book. So, to me, this game, while good, it did kind of feel like parts of it were not handed off to people who make board games, but make RPGs. So as I'm looking through this, knowing our board game people are going to play this, they're going to be mad or frustrated about some of this. Because when it talks about the cards, it tells you the card has this, this, and this, and this on it. But it doesn't give you the thing where it shows you where those things are on the card. It just tells you those things are on the card somewhere.
So to you, it's very evident and obvious that this is not written by a veteran board game designer.
Right.
It's more of a... It's a mistake that a new game designer for board games would.
Now, it flowed well enough. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, it kind of flowed like a Shadowrun source book would flow, where it's like, we're going to tell you about it. All right, now the next step, we're going to tell you about that stuff again, but in detail with the actual rules in there.
Right.
So that was kind of funny. Yeah. And usually I'm kind of leery when something says, on your turn, you take one of these five steps. One of those steps, you take one of these three steps was part of it. And it started going that road, but it didn't. So I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Okay.
And if you are having trouble seeing the board because you're like, you know, like me, and I'm like, everything's too far away, I can't read it. The book, you can flip into it and see a bigger detail of those places that are on the board.
Okay.
Not so much the cards.
Well, the board was mostly... Okay. I'll go back to a bad... It's kind of a bad, kind of another... The board was bigger than it needed to be because all you're using the board for is placing your pawns so that you know what location you're doing for mm-hmm. those different things. And on there, they give a literally a maximum of two sentences that are less than five words on each location. Mm-hmm. This board, we have a fairly nice large table for gaming purposes. It seats six comfortably. And the board and having to put the cards around the board, it pretty much took up the whole table because then in front of us, only four people were playing. The whole table was taken up, period. And there was one small section where we had off
all the chits and stuff.
Right. In a square foot cube area. That was all we had actually space wise on the table. So it's a very large game, which didn't necessarily need to be that large. It was pretty.
Yeah. And along with that, if you didn't set it up the way that it kind of tells you to set up, mm-hmm. I could see it would be even more unwieldy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it kind of has a way they want you to set it up. Right. But there were a couple components that were in there that...
Right. Well, okay. There was mention, and I don't remember who mentioned it, on the board and some of the locations, it gave you a two-sentence description on what you could do at that location or what that location was for.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't line up to what the rule book said you were supposed to be able to do.
Yes.
So what was one of them, Tim?
It was Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno, and there was another one.
It was at the Space Needle for the mage.
Yeah. So it's not that the rules were wrong on the board versus the book. It's just they were worded weirdly to compress it on the board versus the full description in the book.
Right. And you're saying it was just unnecessarily compressed.
Correct.
For the size of the board.
Right.
Yeah, because most of the board was just decor.
Right.
Them showing off, hey, look at our cool map.
For us as Shadowrun fans is great.
Awesome.
Yes, but as a gamer pretending to play the game.
As a board game person from a board game perspective. Correct.
I agree. Well, we're hitting all those spaces here. Right. Now, the board, also it had a couple spaces, like some squares that were blank. And in the
book... So
that's
neat. That's kind of an other thing, though.
Yeah, okay. So, we'll roll into that when we get to the other.
Anyone else that wanted to mention anything about what they didn't quite like about the game?
Calvin didn't win, so he didn't like anything about the game.
Actually, I did have one thing that... And I don't even know. Maybe it's just a personal preference for me. But you actually select the final mission. And
you can. It gave you two options. It said either by random or choose.
Yeah. But either way, it's there and you can see it. Logically, your best bet is to just start building your guys towards that.
Right.
Right. And And the person who gets to build their guys the best towards that wins.
The so quickest,
I almost
yeah.
feel like...
Maybe if it was
maybe
a blind.
Maybe it's blind.
Until you say, okay, I want to try.
Until somebody tries it.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be a bit better.
So you don't know what you're really going at getting.
Right.
And that would be more in the spirit of Shadowrun, I guess.
Correct.
Right, because you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know that there's
a... You wouldn't know a week, you know, a month ahead of time while you're still kind of building your...
Your money and your gear.
Your money and everything that you're going to ultimately go on this one mission.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
I'm kind of not too happy with the amount of setup that had to go into it. Because you had three different decks for, like, unique items that you can get.
It was unique upgrades. Comlink and Dermal Plating.
Then there was two types of characters.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The starter ones and the regular ones. And just, you know, all these cards had to be set out and in a certain way. And it just, I don't think that would be included in the 2 hour play time.
Okay.
Well, like I said, we started out, we spent 45 minutes going over the rules, setting up the board, and then we played 2 hours in the game.
Yeah, but when someone says, you know, this game will take 2 hours,
right?
I would think that includes setup.
Right.
It's like when your friend invites you over to play Descent and say, oh, it'll take like an hour.
Yeah, take an
2 hours, set it up. But
2 to 3 hours, set it up.
I mean, unless you're like Ruby and I, or we got that set up down.
And I have another one.
It came to mind.
I have another one.
Okay.
And I have one too, yeah.
Probably a personal thing that all of you guys will understand the minute that I say this.
Mm-hmm.
Faces were useless.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
They weren't useless, but in like definitely. In
I could have put. I could have put somebody else useful in my.
Yes,
I did.
Yeah. Ultimately,
that's how
the winner,
I won.
The guy who won the game,
I got rid of
that.
It. Because it's like,
which
I can't
is,
do
which
it.
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
Because it being coming from the role playing side of it, the face is really integral to the team.
Right.
Because they're the one that gets you the extra money. They're the ones that can talk you out of getting arrested.
And
there was
like, what, one piece of
there was one
something that would help out the
face.
The face.
Because you have multicolored dice in it, and each color correlates to a particular type of runner. And most of the dice had 8 to 10 dice in their field. The face dice, which were red, had 2.
Yeah.
Which means you can't roll more dice than there are available.
Right. And the only faces available in Shadowrun Sprawl Ops were the starter ones.
So
you couldn't hire.
There's only one upgrade.
Right. I nabbed it right off the bat.
Which would let you roll both those red dice.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't see what use that was, in all honesty.
Yeah, because there's only ever one mission.
There was one mission.
Yeah, there was
we've
one
seen
mission
the whole time.
That had that on there.
All right.
As an optional mission.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to kind of roll into an other.
Okay. Well, I do have a bad.
Oh, one more bad? You do that.
Yeah, and this relates. We were talking about some of the gear cards and stuff when you were setting up. Did it seem like that we just were running out of the gear and the upgrade cards pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then we would get stuff that said, like, there was one space on the board that was like, you could sort through the discard stuff. And there really wasn't
there was
a lot of stuff
discard.
Making us discard stuff.
Yeah, there's one of the things that was either sell the loot items you get, which is not easy to get, or
rifle could, through the gear discard.
Or the gear discard. And it's like,
we never really had any gear discard?
No, we didn't. We had none.
The only way we could have discarded gear is if one of our guys actually just full off died.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, my other.
Yes.
What I thought was kind of cool and kind of othery on it was when John was setting up the board and we were talking over and doing the rule stuff, he mentioned, he's like, oh, and this portion down here, they actually say is set out special for expansions. Uh-huh. So it was kind of neat where I mentioned that the board seemed too big, blah, blah, blah. There was at least one or two spots that it's like specifically set that for an expansion. So it's really cool to know that Catalyst isn't, this is a one-off, they're not going to do anything else. I mean, they may not. This may have been a fiscal failure for them. But if it wasn't, that they already had plans to pursue expanding this particular game.
Right.
So I thought that was a neat.
Yeah, it's definitely a bonus other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's neat seeing that. And there's plenty of room in that box for additional cards and stuff.
All right, so that's one of the others. Is in board games. You know, really hardcore board gamers are always very particular about how the box inserts are and how pieces move and fit inside the box. It had a lot of different chits. It had some tokens. There were no plastic bags in there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
as no a board game person, it wasn't a handy. And the plastic insert, you couldn't easily say, oh, well, that's specifically for that card. Oh, that's for the chits. Oh, that's for that chit. It was just like four regular squares, two card areas. And
there were three card areas. Okay. One of them was like in a weird place away from the other cards.
Essentially, the insert was a weird shape and wasn't intuitive. So again, it to me comes off as a new board game designer insert type thing, where if they continue on, I think it'll improve greatly.
Yeah, it did kind of feel like they were just trying to like not necessarily optimize, but use as much of the space as they could.
Right.
Without like designating, you know, well, this needs to be for this.
Right.
So yeah, so make sure you got plastic baggies to put all those little chits in.
It'll make your life easier in the long run.
It definitely will. What else can we put in the other category? There's not enough to say about the board itself.
I love the board. Yeah, it's absolutely
so
beautiful.
So not only
it's
would
it's eye-catching.
So for example, like Dante's Inferno, which is a nightclub in the Shadowrun setting, is on there, and it's a place you can go to, and everything you do there makes sense for what you would be able to do at Dante's Inferno. Yeah. So when you're looking at the map, it shows it to you. It tells you what you can do. And then there's a little arrow pointing down, which shows you and here's the physical location in Seattle, Washington, of where Dante's Inferno would be located. Right. So I thought those touches were pretty neat.
Yes, especially. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We went into the other category and everybody's like, didn't we cover a lot of
that? right. We covered a lot of the other and the good.
Well, I will say that this has a somewhat of a happy Arkham Horror feel.
Okay. When I was reading through it and setting it up, I was like, this, a lot of this really makes me think of Arkham Horror. Instead of choosing the big monster that you fight, it's the
you
final
choose
mission.
The big corporation.
It's the final mission thing. Right. You know, I need to move this place on the map so I can get a dock wagon thing, as opposed to going here to see the alienist or the doctor to heal or get my sanity back. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff like that.
Very unlikely that everyone will lose.
So one of the things notice is when you're rolling your dice, it didn't feel as deadly as Shadowrun probably should. You could roll a lot of skulls, but you could negate them fairly easily between the dock wagon, and you could negate them with a success on the
dice. I think they gave us too many re-rolls on that, honestly.
Because that was the thing. None of our characters died. I think only four characters out of, what, the 16?
A lot of people got injured.
Right. But you healed. See, that was the other thing is even if you did get hurt, as long as you didn't take a second injury, you survived. And then at the upkeep phase, your token flipped over to recovering, and you could still use that recovering character on the board. He just couldn't go on missions.
And you would literally have to take and both injuries
in that one mission.
Like even in the one stage of that one mission, because as soon as you take one injury and you move on to the next stage, that character is removed.
Is removed from the thing. Yeah.
So
you'd have to take it two in one stage.
So it was really hard to just have your character just die.
Yeah. Right.
I agree. That felt weird.
The only way I could see that really happening is if you were only going in with like one or two characters.
If you're just taking that face by himself.
Yeah. Well, no, because like
just taking the face in.
Every if you took two characters, and you got four injuries,
I had a 10K mission which only had like two steps, which my Street Sam could have easily have done, but you know, solo. But
could
you
have
know,
easily just. Bit it.
You know, I played Shadowrun, and it's like, screw it, whole team go in.
Right.
Yeah, now, and I remember at one point I was like, no, I'm purposely not going to take everybody. I could, because I get a lot of dice, but that's more chances for me to mess up, which is why I was like, I'm not going to take my face on any of these things, because he's just, You know, he's either going to roll something that I can't use.
Right.
Or so he's going to roll something that's going to hurt me.
The face character was useful on the board for reducing the price of things.
And other another strange things.
Some other small bonuses.
But he really wasn't good to take on missions.
Right.
That was the thing with the face.
Right.
Right. So
and maybe,
I would have probably ditched him about halfway through.
Maybe we misplayed it somehow with the face stuff because we started the rules at around 11. We started playing around 12:30. You know, we finished the game finally around 1:30 and 1:40.
I don't think we missed anything. I think that character was that's how that was supposed to be. Yeah. But I think
so.
The only way to improve is to get those items that was good for anyone.
Oh, let's talk about the gear real quick. Yeah, you just mentioned it. The gear was specific for certain types of runners, and then there was an open-ended gear piece, which, as
was,
Tim
was
said,
always
was
more expensive.
Right.
I had a problem with some of the gear.
Yeah.
Why was that?
I was like, wait, that drone and that big truck. You know, cost less than this pistol? What the heck? my big problem was like this is only good for Street Sam. It's gonna increase your magic attribute.
Yeah.
Right.
This is only you can only buy it if you're a rigger. It's going to increase your strength, your gun attribute.
Your gun.
And I was like, why? I want my gun guy to be really good at guns. Yeah. And instead you're telling me that any gear I get for him is going to make him good at everything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few that kind of didn't
like,
do that. And
like,
we fought
one,
over those.
There was one
we?
Magic one that was for a magic person that actually increased magic.
Magic,
Yeah, and there was like one
I had the awesome
thing
one
that increased decking.
Right.
And we went through all of the gear. The only deck we didn't go through totally was the missions deck that you could collect and do and run before the final mission.
Right.
We did not go cycle through that whole thing because the number of runners that you could hire, the number of special gear you could purchase, and the number of equipment you could purchase. We ran through those decks.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Very quickly.
The loot one went through. I had to shuffle that at least once.
Yeah.
It definitely more runners would be nice.
I agree.
More loot. Variety of runners.
I would have liked to have been able to have. Well, I think if we had
that might be
I think
in
if,
the expansions.
I think if we had five people in our slots instead of four, I think that would have been unwieldy at that point.
Yeah,
I think four was a good number.
Because at first I was like, no, I want a fifth slot, and it's like, no,
you really
all those
don't.
Turns are going to take so much longer. And
we did play with the full max with four. I can see playing with three. Two, I wouldn't really want to play with two, but I would if we owned the game personally.
Okay.
Because, you know, Shadowrun.
Yeah. So it is kind of funny because it's, I'm pretty sure that's, I don't even know if that's the sixth world Shadowrun, like, logo thing on the front there. That looks more like the fifth one. Fifth edition.
Well, I'm pretty sure this came out it's during their transition because they're wrapping up 5th edition.
That's right. It's 2079 on the back of the box.
Right. They're wrapping up 5th edition and moving on to 6th edition.
Okay.
Matter of fact, Gen Con is when the core rulebook comes out for 6th edition. The last two or three books that they've printed this year since November has had the conversion rules to 6th edition. So they're in that kind of in between. This came out. Yeah, so during this time frame, so.
All right. So.
But you don't need to know Shadowrun. You don't need to know which edition it is.
It's a decent game as
a standalone game. I geeked out over it. I wanted it to play it and everything because it was Shadowrun, because I like Shadowrun. It's not a time frame type of game I normally choose.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to like the 30 minutes or the hour and less, the quicker, easier, fun to hang out with your friend games versus the longer strategic.
And that being said, it didn't, after we got past like the first or second round, it didn't feel like I was sitting there going, like waiting for someone to take their turn. It flowed very well.
You're waiting for me just because I was zoning out because I started getting tired.
Right, that's just because of what time it was.
Right.
That had nothing to do with the game itself. But at one point you were like, well, all my guys are going to go right here into Dante's Inferno anyway. That's just what I'm going to do. And Tim, at one point Tim was like, well, half of my guys have to go in there because
they're injured.
They're injured.
Right. So, I mean, it made certain things went quicker when there wasn't a lot of analysis paralysis.
What? Everybody take a drink.
Yeah, I used a board game term.
So, so is there something we would maybe change or add to this game?
More runners.
Again, variety more runners. More runners. Variety of
maybe
runners,
a bit more gear.
More gear. A variety of gear. More gear, more loot.
And enhancements.
Yeah.
On the unique versions.
Yeah, because there wasn't anything like really cyberware.
Well, there was one. Yeah, it was like yes there, was no. face, right. There was one face. There
wasn't
decker.
Like yeah. There wasn't like wired reflexes or
cyber limbs like or
yeah. Tailored pheromones was in there, but that was in gear.
No, that was in the unique.
Yeah, that was unique.
That was like,
that was the face. The one face augment.
I'm like, I don't know how many comlinks actually are in there.
It looked like six.
Yeah, I think there was six.
And six dermal platings. So not every character can get a comlink.
So yeah, not every character should have a comlink in Shadowrun.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Every character should have a comlink. Especially So, comlink, I think, was probably the most OP thing in that thing, which I thought was...
I suggest you start out your game I thought was hilarious. Comlinks.
Yeah, just go buy all the comlinks.
Just buy all the comlinks.
All right. So, this was us all geeking out and talking about Shadowrun Sprawl Ops, which is a board game by...
Callus Game Labs.
Check out SwarmcastPodcast.com for more board game reviews.